Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. Today we are up to Epilogue 1, Chapter 2. If we assume, as the historians do, that great men led humanity to the attainment of certain ends, the greatness of Russia or of France, the balance of power in Europe, the diffusion of the ideas of the revolution, general progress, or anything else, then it is impossible to explain the facts of history without introducing the conceptions of chance and genius. If the aim of the European wars at the beginning of the 19th century had been the aggrandizement of Russia, that aim might have been accomplished without all the preceding wars and without the invasion. If the aim was the aggrandizement of France, that might have been attained without the revolution and without the empire. If the aim was the dissemination of ideas, the printing press could have accomplished that much better than warfare. If the aim was the progress of civilization, it is easy to see that there are other ways of diffusing civilization more expedient than by the destruction of wealth and of human lives. Why did it happen in this and not in some other way? Because it happened so. Chance created the situation, genius utilized it, says history. But what is chance? What is genius? The words chance and genius do not denote any real existing thing, and therefore cannot be defined. Those words only denote a certain stage of understanding of phenomena. I do not know why a certain event occurs. I think that I cannot know it, so I do not try to know it, and I talk about chance. I see a force producing effects beyond the scope of ordinary human agencies. I do not understand why this occurs, and I talk of genius. To a herd of rams, the ram the herdsman drives each evening into a special enclosure to feed, and that becomes twice as fat as the others, must seem to be a genius. And it must appear an astonishing conjunction of genius, with a whole series of extraordinary chances, that this ram, who instead of getting into the general fold every evening gets into a special enclosure where there are oats, this very ram, swelling with fat, is killed for meat. But the rams need only cease to suppose that all that happens to them happens solely for the attainment of their sheepish aims. They need only admit that what happens to them may also have purposes beyond their ken, and they will at once perceive a unity and coherence in what happened to the ram that was fattened. Even if they do not know for what purpose they are fattened, they will at least know that all that happened to the ram did not happen accidentally, and will no longer need the conceptions of chance or genius. Only by renouncing our claim to discern a purpose immediately intelligible to us, and admitting the ultimate purpose to be beyond our ken, may we discern the sequence of experiences in the lives of historic characters, and perceive the cause of the effects they produce, incommensurable with ordinary human capabilities, and then the words chance and genius become superfluous. We need only confess that we do not know the purpose of the European convulsions, and that we know only the facts, that is, the murders, first in France, then in Italy, in Africa, in Prussia, in Austria, in Spain, and in Russia, and that the movements from the west to the east and from the east to the west form the essence and purpose of these events. And not only shall we have no need to see exceptional ability and genius in Napoleon and Alexander, but we shall be unable to consider them to be anything but men like other men. And we shall not be obliged to have recourse to chance for an explanation of those small events which made these people what they were, but it will be clear that all those small events were inevitable. By discarding a claim to knowledge of the ultimate purpose, we shall clearly perceive that just as one cannot imagine a blossom or seed for any single plant better suited to it than those it produces, so it is impossible to imagine any two people more completely adapted, down to the smallest detail, for the purpose they had to fulfill, than Napoleon and Alexander with all their antecedents. Alright, there we go. Another chapter down. Right off the bat, I'm not sure if I pronounced that very last word correctly. Antecedents. Wow, okay. I got that very wrong. Antecedents. A thing that existed before or logically precedes another. A person's ancestors or family or social background. Antecedents. Alright, before we go into the analysis part, the discussion part, a quick word from the sponsors of the podcast. Audible, the awesome audiobook service. You can get a free trial of Audible and browse their huge range, their unmatched, unrivaled range of audiobooks to choose your free audiobook. Audibletrial.com/ander will get you a free 1 month trial subscription and any audiobook that you choose. If you're wondering what to listen to next, maybe you should get Audible. Audibletrial.com/ander. Thank you very much for your patience there. Okay, so we are still in that zoomed out stage. Tolstoy talking politics and talking again the accuracy of how the historians have portrayed these great men. Or how they've misbetrayed these great men would be more accurate. Chatov Elster said, in this chapter we go back to Tolstoy's perspective on the statement of historians that great men lead mankind to the achievement of certain purposes. Did his arguments in this chapter change your opinion about Tolstoy's perspective? Well, it was an argument against the words chance and the words genius, really, wasn't it? People would say that the things that happened only happened by chance. He's saying that everything was inevitable and nothing was chance. He's also saying that any claims of genius are vastly inflated. And the fact is that Napoleon and Alexander were just mere men, caught in a movement bigger than themselves. Chatov Elster also asks if the flock of sheep analogy was helpful or not. Was this a good analogy to clarify his arguments? First of all, I think it was rams in the Maud translation. It must have been a flock of sheep in the PNV. Secondly, no, I don't really think it was. I guess I'm not that familiar with how rams or sheep, I don't know, like, is that a thing? Do they take one sheep and feed them grain and fatten them up and all the others don't get that? And even so, it didn't really shed any light because he's explaining one unfamiliar concept to me with another unfamiliar concept. So, just kind of muddied the water. I think sometimes analogies, you know, this is me being a writer myself and having my own preference, so this is very much a personal opinion, but I don't use analogies much, or if at all, in my writing, because I just think often it's easier just to describe the thing rather than to try to compare it to something else. it seems to me often that it's more an exercise in the author showing off a little bit of mental gymnastics rather than actually trying to help the reader to understand something more easily. And I don't know, I'm not about that. I'm more about clear speech, clear writing. So, I don't know. And in this case, maybe I'm just tired and it went over my head, but no, this analogy did not clarify his arguments. It is 1:12 a.m. right now. I've just gotten back from watching Bohemian Rhapsody, which was really, really good. Went on a little band date. Our singer has had a bad week, which I won't go into why, but he's had a few personal problems this week and was a bit down in the dumps. So we decided as a band that we'd go and pick him up. So, you know, the three of us went and picked up our fourth member, our singer, and we took him out to the movies and we watched Bohemian Rhapsody. It was kind of cool to sit, you know, in the cinema as a band, watching a movie about a band. Anyway, sidetrack. That's why I'm tired. And it's potentially why this chapter didn't really sink in for me too much. Ninjastro said, "Okay, this chapter was boring for me." Well, that gives me a bit of reassurance, I suppose. I mean, I didn't find the chapter boring, but it didn't really do much for me. Ninjastro continues, "I'm usually all in for his philosophy, but I couldn't do it today. What's his point? That historians call people geniuses in certain situations chance, but they really aren't? Maybe I'm still not over the sexism from 20 chapters ago. I didn't even know I held literary grudges like this." Yeah, right. Digging up old burns from 20 chapters ago. No, you know what? Like, the other thing about this chapter is he's saying, like, any historian that uses the word genius to describe someone is wrong, and any that uses the word chance to describe something is wrong. And it's too black and white. I mean, there are geniuses in the world. And I'm pretty sure Napoleon, in some way, was a genius, you know. The guy did things that no one else has come close to doing. He took over half the world. He must have had a genius for something. Even if it was just leadership or charisma, or, you know, he maybe wasn't a military genius, but he might have just been extremely charismatic or something. Who knows where his genius was exactly. But I mean, Napoleon's had more books written about him than any other historical person. There are more books about Napoleon than anyone else. I read that statistic once and I'm sticking to it. It might not be true, but I believe it anyway. Yeah, but even if he's not a genius, Tolstoy is just sort of saying historians can't use the word genius, because if they do, they're wrong. And similarly with chance. But again, chance is a thing. Things happen by chance, by coincidence, by accident, by powers beyond human control. So, yeah, like the message of this chapter, I suppose, didn't really land with me. Okay, I think we'll wrap up the conversation there. Quick reminder about the Patreon page and the new subreddit, reddit.com/r/TheHemingwayList. And I want to give a shout out, actually. That's what I'm going to do. I've been meaning to do this. I put out a call for moderators for that subreddit, new subreddit, because I've never had my own subreddit. I've never moderated a subreddit. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. So I asked, is anyone keen? And Reddit user Techrific has put up his hand and said he's willing to help. And already, just in the couple of days since he's joined, he's spruced up the subreddit. He's added a banner. He's added a little avatar picture and a picture of Hemingway, and he's done all kinds of things. He's fixed up the style sheet and just absolutely brilliant. And so I just want to give a shout out to Techgrific and say thank you, my friend, for jumping on board. Hopefully all the fiddly sort of tedious bits are out of the way. The subreddit looks great, and now we're just going to have some fun reading some great literature. So welcome to the team, Tech. Good to have you on board. If you haven't yet jumped onto that subreddit, please do. Subscribe, join the conversation. We have 30 subscribers. We've reached 30. Hey, that's worth celebrating. Well done, everybody. All right, that's enough for me from tonight, right? Thank you all very much for listening. I will see you tomorrow.